You know, one thing I'm wondering too, Dr. Cohen, when it comes to this level of intimacy, and I like the fact that you pointed out that really and truly we should be shooting for that 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 on the intimacy scale. When it comes to sharing intimacy like this, is it necessary for or advisable for the couple to really talk about where they want to go when it comes to intimacy in their relationship?
I think that there's some things that are not necessarily spoken of, and you know, like, let's have a conversation about how intimate we want our sex to be. I think that sometimes that could really kill it off. It's almost the discussion is almost like the foreplay, you know, of the making love, in the sense that it takes a different form of expressing to that person how much they mean to you, how close they feel to you, how you know, a night out where there's intimacy and closeness and the right kinds of things saying. It's not like, hey, you know, I can't wait till later where we can you know, jump into bed together, you know, and, you know, that kind of thing chills off, you know, the concept of making love. We have to, understanding the distinction between just having sex and making love can help set the stage, you know, for the kinds of things that you say to somebody, you know, in the process of preparing, you know, for an intimate sexual relationship. And I think that's, you know, sometimes not really quite understood, and if you try to discuss, you know, the terms of how we want to have sex prior to it, instead of, it's more like let's start the process, not let's talk about the process, and that's even before, you know, the sexual act begins.
So some of this, really, when it comes to the sex act itself, it's often better just done rather than discussed and done. Just done.
Well, yeah, but again, with the context, right? Context. It's the people, and I think this is seen time and time again. People who feel closer to one another even have better sex. But you know, in the types of ways that you discuss your intimacy. I mean, the discussion of intimacy itself is okay, as long as it's not like, you know, what do you want to do in bed?
Right. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it certainly the discussion of intimacy, the discussion that's intimate. I mean, you have an intimate discussion about you know, your feelings and how what the other person means and so forth. It sets the stage for the sexual act, where the sexual feelings and so forth work in a unified way with the conceptual underpinnings, so that, you know, there's this, as we said, this unity that occurs. Is the coming together is almost, you know, a unified conceptual as well as physical bond.
Right. Because, you know, when you mentioned having that intimate discussion, that's not necessarily about the intimacy of sex itself, just an intimate discussion. It seems like it would be so helpful if, in dealing with that potential fear that the other partner may not even be aware of, the fear that I'm ready to commit all that I am to this person I'm getting ready to have sexual intercourse with, are they willing to commit all of themselves to me? And I'm thinking that if people are having intimate conversations that deal with some of the things you told us about, trustworthiness, loyalty, how I feel about you, etc., it just generally what my thoughts and feelings are about the relationship, about you, about us, where we see ourselves going with this relationship, I'm wondering if that would tend to alleviate some of the fear that one of the people might have as to whether they would be intimately engaged alone.
Yeah, I think so. And as long as it was, it conveyed the message of a supportive environment. I mean, we can see this in a good analogy for this is when a client comes to counseling and they have things that they want to share, but they're not comfortable sharing. But if they find that the relationship is warm and caring and non-judgmental, and there's unconditional positive regard for the other and so forth, they're more likely to open up. And I think the same principle would apply here. If somebody, you know, tries to relate to somebody on a sexual basis in intimate way, such as is involved in making love, but they have insecurity, you know, about that individual, they're less likely to perform. They're less likely to perform sexually, too.
And that's where a problem can come in, too. The sexual performance, whether a person is able to measure up or not, does that come into the equation from time to time?
Of course, yeah, because in the process, of course, making love is also involves sex. And if you can't have sex, then you're not going to, you know, make love, you know, in this sense. And you might not, you know, perform sexually or be, you know, in the right state to have, you know, a very satisfying sexual relation to begin with if you have doubts. One of the things that is oftentimes an influence on sexual dysfunction actually is the demand for, you know, perfection and demand for approval. I must perform, you know, perfectly. I must have the approval of the other person. And, you know, when you say that and then you say, well, if I don't, you know, I'm a failure, you know, and that's a very, very popular line of thinking. If that's where you come into the relationship with that kind of thought process, you're not likely to perform sexually, nor are you consequently likely to have, you know, an occasion where you're making love. So it there needs to be an attempt to over, you know, come transcend that kind of insecurity about oneself, the other person, the demand to perform perfectly. All that is very important in saying that that's largely the seeds of sexual dysfunction if you can't overcome that.
So generally speaking, when, you know, I can see people having different goals for the sex, depending on whether they are coming together sexually for the purpose of making love with each other, contrasted with coming together just to have sex. Do you find that people who are having sex just for the purpose of having that sexual stimuli, that sexual gratification, are able to deal with disappointments, lack of performance, I guess you could say, any differently than people who are making love with each other, including sex in the equation? Do you find that there's a different response?
Well, I think that you know, it depends how important it is, you know, to have sex, you know, and how much it's important to make love. If you see this as a make or break thing, then you're going to be very disappointed, regardless of whether you're trying to have just sex or you're trying to make love. There's certainly a sense in which, you know, not able to make love when you want to can be very, very dissatisfying, perhaps in a different way than it is when you can't have sex, because you find, let's say, that you want to make love with another individual, but that individual is not reciprocating. You know, maybe they, let's take an extreme situation. You're making love to that individual and they fall asleep.
Okay. In the process. That could be crushing.
I've seen cases like that. And wow. You know, in the situation like that, the person does feel rather devastated. But, you know, in a sense that here's the most intimate thing I'm trying to share with you. You know, this is what my life, I'm sharing me with you in beyond just the physical desire for sexual stimulation. and you're falling asleep.
Yeah.
And this kind of situation can be very, very hard, you know, on an individual. Now, standard cases of dysfunction where the male, for instance, is unable to have an erection. I mean, this certainly is an occasion where there's you know, very dissatisfaction, and people are, you know, very, very upset over that too. It depends upon how, you know, serious you take it. Most males, for instance, will feel rather devastated too if they're not able, you know, to perform.
I tell you what, this is just so involved. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. Stay with us.